The Encyclopedia Galactica defines a robot as a mechanical apparatus designed to do the work of a man. The marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation defines a robot as your plastic pal who's fun to be with. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy defines the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation as a bunch of mindless jerks who'll be the first against the wall when the revolution comes, with a footnote to the effect that the editors would welcome applications from anyone interested in taking over the post of robotics correspondent. Curiously enough, an edition of the Encyclopedia Galactica that had the good fortune to fall through a time warp from 1,000 years in the future defined the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation as a bunch of mindless jerks who were the first against the wall when the revolution came. The pink cubicle had winked out of existence. The monkeys had sunk away to a better dimension. Ford and Arthur found themselves in the embarkation area of the ship. It was rather smart. "I think this ship's brand new," said Ford. "How can you tell?" asked Arthur. "Have you got some exotic device for measuring the age of metal?" "No, I just found this sales brochure lying on the floor. It's a lot of the universe can be yours stuff." "Ah, look, I was right." Ford jabbed at one of the pages and showed it to Arthur. "It says, sensational new breakthrough in improbability physics. As soon as the ship's drive reaches infinite improbability, it passes through every point in the universe. Be the envy of other major governments. Wow, this is big league stuff." Ford hunted excitedly through the technical specs of the ship, occasionally gasping with astonishment at what he had missed during the years of his exile. Arthur listened for a short while, but being unable to understand the vast majority of what Ford was saying, he began to let his mind wander, trailing his fingers along the edge of an incomprehensible computer bank. He reached out and pressed an invitingly large red button on a nearby panel. The panel lit up with the words, "Please do not press this button again." He shook himself. "Listen," said Ford, who was still engrossed in the sales brochure. "They make a big thing of the ship's cybernetics. A new generation of Sirius Cybernetics Corporation robots and computers with the new GPP feature." "GPP feature?" said Arthur. "What's that?" "Oh, it says genuine people personalities." "Oh," said Arthur, "sounds ghastly." A voice behind them said, "It is." The voice was low and hopeless, and accompanied by a slight clanking sound. They spun round and saw an abject steel man standing hunched in the doorway. "What?" they said. "Ghastly," continued Marvin. "It all is absolutely ghastly. Just don't even talk about it. Look at this door," he said, stepping through it. The irony circuits cut into his voice modulator as he mimicked the style of the sales brochure. "All the doors in this spaceship have a cheerful and sunny disposition. It is their pleasure to open for you, and their satisfaction to close again with the knowledge of a job well done." As the door closed behind them, it became apparent that it did indeed have a satisfied, sigh-like quality to it. It said. Marvin regarded it with cold loathing, while his logic circuits chattered with disgust and tinkered with the concept of directing physical violence against it. Further circuits cut in saying, "Why bother? What's the point? Nothing is worth getting involved in." Further circuits amused themselves by analysing the molecular components of the door and of the humanoid's brain cells. For a quick encore, they measured the level of hydrogen emissions in the surrounding cubic parsec of space, and then shut down again in boredom. A spasm of despair shook the robot's body as he turned. Come on, he droned. I've been ordered to take you down to the bridge. Here I am, brain the size of a planet, and they ask me to take you down to the bridge. Call that job satisfaction, 'cause I don't.
He turned and walked back to the hated door.
Excuse me, said Ford, following after him. Which government owns this ship?
Marvin ignored him.
You watch this door, he muttered. It's about to open again. I can tell by the intolerable air of smugness it suddenly generates.
With an ingratiating little whine, the door slid open again and Marvin stomped through.
Come on, he said.
The others followed quickly, and the door slid back into place with pleased little clicks and whirs.
Thank you, the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation, said Marvin, and trudged desolately up the gleaming curved corridor that stretched out before them. Let's build robots with genuine people personalities, they said. So they tried it out with me. I'm a personality prototype. You can tell, can't you?
Ford and Arthur muttered embarrassed little disclaimers.
I hate that door, continued Marvin. I'm not getting you down at all, am I?
Which government? Started Ford again.
No government owns it, snapped the robot. It's been stolen.
Stolen?
Stolen? Mimicked Marvin. Who by? Asked Ford. Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Something extraordinary happened to Ford's face. At least 5 entirely separate and distinct expressions of shock and amazement piled up on it in a jumbled mess. His left leg, which was in mid-stride, seemed to have difficulty in finding the floor again. He stared at the robot and tried to disentangle some dartoid muscles.
Zaphod Beeblebrox, he said weakly.
Sorry, did I say something wrong? Said Marvin, dragging himself on regardless. Pardon me for breathing, which I never do anyway, so I don't know why I bother to say it. Oh, God, I'm so depressed. Here's another of those self-satisfied doors. Life. Don't talk to me about life.
No one even mentioned it, muttered Arthur irritably. Ford, are you all right? Ford stared at him.
Did that robot say Zaphod Beeblebrox? He said.